This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll also have updates from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer as well. There is a small chance of rain and thunderstorms this afternoon and tomorrow. Smoke from Canadian wildfires may also add some haze to the sky today. It's going to be warm this week. Humidity also will be increasing. The sticky conditions may be with us until next week at least. A few areas received rain over the past 24 hours. According to NDON, rainfall totals include 1.21 inches some 10 miles east of Thief River Falls, 73 hundredths at Perham, Candu, North Dakota, 64 hundredths, Wadena, 45 hundredths, 43 hundredths at Rugby, Greenbush, Minnesota, 41 hundredths, Roseau, just shy of 3/10, Staples, Minnesota, 23 hundredths, Grafton, 13 hundredths, Langdon had 8 hundredths of an inch.
Hurricane Beryl made landfall at 4 o'clock this morning on the Texas coast as a Category 1 hurricane. In addition to the high winds, rainfall amounts of 5 to 10 inches are expected. Major ports on the Gulf have shut down. It's also concerned that the strong winds could damage oil refinery infrastructure. Energy industry analysts indicate any prolonged disruptions to the Texas refinery business would be bearish for crude oil and bullish for refined fuels.
The Climate Prediction Center has released its 30-day outlook. It calls for above normal rainfall for the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and northern Illinois. Below normal moisture forecast for southwestern North Dakota and western South Dakota. Above normal temps are expected for most of the country except the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, northern Iowa, and Wisconsin, which should see normal temperatures.
USDA will be releasing its weekly crop progress report this afternoon. The report, expected to offer some insight into the heavy rains in southern Minnesota, southeastern South Dakota, northwestern Iowa, and northeast Nebraska, portions and the impact on the crop conditions. The report will be released at 2 o'clock.
USDA will be releasing the July supply-demand report on Friday of this week. Corn Belt marketing analyst Sam Hudson is not expecting big numbers.
You know, the biggest highlight is going to be plugging in the quarterly data and just kind of seeing what that looks like on the balance sheet. Otherwise, you know, from a general demand standpoint, I think you're only going to see some nominal adjustments and probably not enough to matter a whole heck of a lot.
Hudson says traders will be watching demand and farmer selling.
Typically, you know, with how much we've taken off here, a 10 or 20 cent bounce, in the soybean market probably isn't going to interest the farmer. 5 to 10 cents in the corn, the same thing. And so we can get a quick retest of the 440 to 445 area of the December corn here sometime in the next couple weeks. I think that could provide a selling opportunity before the next WASDE report on the 12th. Soybeans, you know, we're probably thinking for a similar pattern here, maybe chase the market back up to 11 and a half or something and then, you know, see what's possible after that. But there's just not a whole lot in the pipe here. I think that leaves us for geopolitics, some headlines, and like I said, that money flow.
Traders continuing to watch for grain movement. Top Third Marketing market analyst Dan Smith says traders are watching for farmer selling.
You know, I think they're just trying to find the footing in a lot of these, especially in the corn. After the numbers out last week, we've recovered about 14, 15 cents off the bottom. The big thing is whether corn could go through that low we made before the number was released last Friday. And I think that's going to have some difficulty times doing it. The market's aware that the farmer's holding a lot of old crop corn. It's going to have to come to market. The funds know this. Not a big secret for anybody. So this is going to make the upside pretty hard for corn.
Smith does not expect Friday's supply-demand report to be a big market mover.
I think for the most part, exports have been good, but they weren't very good this week. So it's going to come on the export side of this thing and see what we do. But I really don't see it moving it much. You know, I think it's the weather forecast going forward with a lot of corn starting to close to tasseling, the pollination period. Weather looks, in the 80s with some moisture. Cooling down at night, and that's just what you want for pollination. Now, it's going to be a long pollination period this year because of the late planted corn. So it's starting off good. Could that change? Absolutely.
The Chinese company COFCO plans to increase the export capacity of its port terminal at Santos, Brazil. Capacity will increase from the current 4.5 million metric tons to 14 million. The update is happening in anticipation of a significant increase in business for COFCO in Brazil. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Last week's soybean market took its cue from the bean oil market. U.S. Commodities President Don Rowe says several factors are underpinning the vegetable oil market.
You've got some of these countries like Indonesia putting some restrictions on the veg oils coming from cooking oil, if you will, coming from China. That really started it, and then we got the talk that the biodiesel plants coming on board using more oil. So oil finding some strength from a number of areas like that, and then the meal weakness on producing too much meal at the expense of needing the oil.
Congress is back in session this week, and spending bills for the 2025 fiscal year are on the schedule. The House Appropriations Committee will review the environment and energy policy bills tomorrow and the agriculture spending bill on Wednesday. The agriculture appropriations bill will be heard at the committee level in the Senate on Thursday. Congress is back on recess next week due to the Republican National Convention.
Technology's influence on production can be seen on many farms across the country. Transportation sector that ships goods to and from farms not immune to that impact. Midwest Association of Rail Shippers First Vice President Steve Blinn says that while automation is finding its way into the rail sector, it will not be replacing workers anytime soon.
There are other means of technology which can supplant what we call man hours and make it a more feasible, cost-effective way to run freight and keep jobs in the market. As it stands, through freight negotiation with labor, there's a stance that there will be the proper number of people operating the locomotive and the train in order to make it, quote-unquote, the safest mode that we have in all of the modes of transportation.
New technologies are being implemented to ensure the sustainability and accuracy of rail-based transportation.
What everybody is after is a resilient railroad that actually gets customers' traffic moved on time in place. There is a lot of movement in the industry through different mechanisms to make that possible. And that resiliency is the sustainability of the railroad.
Potatoes continue to be in high demand across the United States. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
Potato imports have been increasing due to the demand of consumers in the United States. Potatoes USA is focusing on using American farmers to meet that demand. President and CEO Blair Richardson continues to promote potatoes in the U.S.
One of the key things that we're watching right now is how our industry is fitting in the global demand and trade for potatoes. For many years, we've been increasing the imports of potatoes into the United States because we have not been meeting the full demand of American consumers. And I know it seems kind of hard to understand when, you know, prices aren't always reflecting the demand for the products. But we, you know, it seems like, you know, this has been a significant shift over time.
There might be a solution on the horizon.
Now we have multiple European companies as well as companies from other parts of the world that are investigating putting processing plants into the United States to serve that demand that we're not currently reaching. So I think that it's great to see that and give American farmers the opportunity to supply that demand instead of importing the products from overseas. And it just shows that as we're, you know, we're in an industry where we're already the number one most favored vegetable in the country. And I think that this just shows that there's more potential for further growth as we continue pushing forward and defending the reputation of the potato and promoting it to American consumers.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
The value of the U.S. beef exports topped $900 million in May, the highest level since June of last year. U.S. Meat Export Federation CEO Dan Hallstrom said this is encouraging news.
I think there's a couple of drivers. You look at the numbers for Japan, 21,000 tons, up 9%. Mexico continues to perform well, up 9%. And another region that performed well in the month of May was the ASEAN region, you know, led by the Philippines, but also Indonesia and Singapore had fairly good months with a total of 4,600 metric tons, up 25%.
Pork exports also posted solid numbers. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Some Minnesota organic farmers are dealing with the aftermath of the flooding we've seen. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has that story.
According to Kenya, Minnesota organic farmer Karen Torreson, while her and her husband hoped for more rain this spring, they weren't prepared for the amounts that have hit their small farm.
After 3 years of drought, we were quite happy to get all the rain initially, but our perspective has changed now with excessive rain, although there are positives and negatives. Part of our farm has organic dairy cows, and so the pastures have been very good, much better than recent years. So that part is positive. The negative part is relates to the flooding. We have a small river on the south edge of our farm. It has flooded three times in the last month. We don't have any fields directly affected by that. Well, our neighbors just to our east have certainly been affected by that flood.
Crop quality has been a concern, with excessive moisture impacting fertilizer effectiveness.
I think that part of the difficulty relates to the fact that the nutrients, the fertilizers that we use are leached out by the excessive water.
Heat is what is needed, and while crop insurance can help soften the blow, it isn't a fix-all.
We also do need heat, and we've had, you know, a relatively cool June and a startup. We do have crop insurance for organic farmers. It's improved a great deal in recent years. However, crop insurance never covers, you know, the profit you hope to make. You hope it'll cover your expenses.
Grains traded higher going into the weekend on thin holiday trade. Progressive Ag Marketing Analyst Brian Strumman thinks position squaring ahead of Friday's supply and demand report was only a minor part of that trade action.
Some production estimates for Russia increased, again, their production as far as their private estimates go, with better than expected yields, but that's not really affecting the market today, and a firmer tone again in the corn market. So it's nice to see some solid gains across the board here as far as the grains go.
Strumman says position squaring was also a factor.
I think that's a lot of it. Again, you know, it's a thin trade. We've got the monthly USDA report next Friday. But just a thinner trade. The markets, you know, new contract lows a week ago in the corn market and early this week, and just some short covering coming into play.
Checking markets as we speak, we are down 9 cents for Minneapolis wheat for the September contract, 6.24 and a quarter. Chicago wheat September down 9 and a half, and we're 14 cents down for the September hard red winter wheat contract. September corn, 6 and a half lower, 4.04. New crop down 6. Soybeans, August, 11.52 and three quarters, down 13 and a half. New crop soybeans down 18 and three quarter cents. Some pressure to start this market week. On the farm calendar, soil is alive on Highway 75. There's a series of meetings, a soil health tour featuring the soil guy, Ray Archuleta, and this will be going on along western Minnesota. They'll be starting that session at 9 this morning in Grigla, Crookston tomorrow, Hawley on Wednesday. This is the Red River Farm Network.